And I say to the hearer and the speaker. Your pastor and I were talking this morning, and we were talking about communications. And I guess I could get in a little trouble too, but I don't get in as much trouble as Jesse does. I'm older and wiser, I think. But we were talking about trying to explain something to our wives. And on the way home Wednesday, my wife said, "Well, you didn't even talk about what you were going to study, and I studied that. You didn't say one word about that." And so I talked to her and told her what happened, you know. I said, well, I was getting up to it. And as he mentioned about his dear wife, Polly, explaining. So I mentioned that if you can communicate real fast to somebody, that is the fewer words you can say and they get exactly what you're saying, the better that communication or language is. Now, the English language, if I said, look at the TV and you can see German, they're talking German and you read it faster than they can say it. At least I can, and I'm a slow reader. So, there's different languages. And speaking with my dad, I said, I used to talk to my dad, and he'd say, I know. If I tried to, I'd say the beginning of what I was saying in the end, and if I tried to say in between, what do you think you're teaching me? I know. Get on with it. So that's why sometimes I talk the way I do. I'm used to talking to him, but I have been talking with my wife. And so I was really slowed down because she'll tell me to slow down and explain it to her, which I do. I love her. And she gets it. But that's what it's about, you see. If I stand up here and could cut it all out, like when I first started, then there's certain people that aren't going to get it. And that's why it's line upon line and precept upon precept. It would do no good to just, like your pastor said, to hit the top shelf for the cookies. If there are those that need to go slow and go line by line. That's the whole thing about it, is teaching to get the point. If I get up like some politicians or somebody that wants to impress you with a whole bunch of big words, and you don't know a thing I've said. If I really want to get the message over, I just defeated my entire purpose. So that's why the Bible, other than places and names, it's written so simple. To line, and that's why it's written over and over. The Sermon on the Mount, on three things, Jesus repeats himself in that sermon exactly three times. So, let's trust the Lord that it will come from the speaker and that you will be able to comprehend what the Spirit is saying. Otherwise, you cannot get it. Minds run. One word. You've seen these shows where they have a game. And they get up And they're trying for, they can't say the word, but they're trying to get the person to say the word. And for instance, rubber. And the guy will say, tire, eraser. And that person will sit there. You think, wow, they can't say rubber? But some people are like that. And it's something else, a word, their mind might completely go to something else. But always Scripture, it does have a meaning. There might be twofold or threefold things that you can see in it. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it isn't a private thing to any individual. You can know. And God wants you to know. And He wants you to know this book of Romans. This book of Romans is of the first of Paul's writings. The Holy Ghost put it there. Though it isn't his first book. What does that tell you? Huh? He wrote Galatians, Corinthians. What does that tell you? Thessalonians? What does this tell you? Why did the Holy Spirit put it there? He wants you to get a hold of this first before you try to get into something else. As Dad used to say, the highlight of the Bible is Ephesians. But he'd learn Romans first. And Sister Bodie, she said in her book that unless you've studied the book of Romans and know something about the book of Romans, you shouldn't be teaching an adult class. Though, when we first get saved, we go out and start testifying. This book, as Dad used to say, the book of Romans, is the way that God made sinner saints. The way that He took the bad sinners of the human race and made them lily white saints, that they could never die, neither could ever be a charge laid against Him. Well, wouldn't you be interested in finding that out? I told a man that I at the gym, I said, I won't be in as much because I'm going to study. He said, what are you going to give? I said, Romans. Supposedly the greatest book that's ever been written. Minds say that this book of Romans is the greatest book ever written. Dad, years ago, he talked to a lawyer here in town that had got himself into trouble. He was called. He went down and he laid out the way God makes sinners saints to that guy. Clear to in the morning, he talked with that man. And he told him about the new birth. You must be born again. This is how you do it. You get a new life. Well, you that have heard him say, his answer was, I am a very intelligent man. Can you expect me to believe that? That God can do that? As we didn't get into Romans, you that were here Wednesday, because there's a different crowd, I started on the night. But as I said, I seen a fish there on TV, and that I told you that fish is big. It's a big, huge female fish. And there's a little tiny fish that don't need teeth. He don't need to eat. She does all the eating for her. him. And when she needs to fertilize her eggs, she draws it from that fish, that male fish. And those two are attached. I told Jesse, whatsoever God puts together, no man can put asunder. I'm not preaching an equality here, but boy, when you look at that, you think, you know, there's not even anything like the human race there. But there's life there. The black widow spider. You don't set down a certain way God makes life. He makes and puts it in that life, and he can do anything. Tonight I noticed on the science that the Big Bang, they said Einstein, he couldn't quite come up with the last of it, but they came up with the last of it. Of how? I don't know, see? They're not sure either. But then what caught my attention was they said, but this is just this universe. There are many universes out there that were not made with the same equation of ours. Can you imagine that? And what he was saying is there's other universes out there that weren't made like ours. You see, God, he can do anything. Now, this book tells you how he made sinners saints. And then he tells how he takes that saint. Now, a saint is somebody that will never be any more holier than they are the minute they get that life. Because that's what it is a holy life. But then he will take you into how and the justification, how he did it. See, can you say, well, like that attorney? I'm intelligent. How could I believe that somebody could take my sinful life and put it on somebody else and impute that holy life to me? And you expect me to believe that, he said. He didn't say impute because he didn't realize that. But that's what he was saying. That's exactly how he did it. He doesn't ask you to understand it. He proves that that's the way he did it. And as Chris was talking about the Mormons tonight, you know, the Mormons, they believe that they can attain to godhood. That's what he was telling you, Chris. If they do certain things, they can attain to godhood. That's what their religion is based on. When Adam fell, he fell upward. He didn't fall downward. He fell upward. That was the plan. And if you overcome, you can go as far or further than God is today. That's what God was at one time. You finally say, well, about the gods, they won't talk to you about that. They'll say, well, we don't have to deal with the other gods. We just have to deal with the God here. And when you finally find out their terms, they're nothing like ours. But they believe the lie. Not a lie. They believed the lie. You do know what the lie is, don't you? The first lie. What was the first lie that our grandparents believed? You can become as gods. And many religions are steeped in that. That you can bring about a birth and become a god. You see? Well, he tells you the way he does it. And it's only through his son, him taking your sin. And he died. That was the lie. Adam, of course, he didn't have to go to hell, but he would have. You know, if he'd have ended up in hell with Eve, she wouldn't have looked too good after a while. He would have found out. But instead, he clothed them, he saved them, and that's the way he did it. There's no way that you can give a birth or save yourself. And that was that lie. And now we believe another lie that he cannot do what he said. Well, he's already did it. It says, as your pastor said this morning, all men are liars. And God was true. He did send his son, though all men would be liars. They couldn't have done it. He had to do it. And then, of course, David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. I had a guy quote that to me once. Yeah, he said in his haste. They're not. I says, he was just saying, I didn't consider the Lord Jesus. He didn't mean anybody else when he said in his haste. But God proved to be true. He was no liar. He did give us this life. And it's a life that is beyond death. It's a life that will be the greatest there will ever be in a relationship and a likeness to God. Surely you can believe that, can't you? Can't you believe when God says something by now, he means it? So as we get into this book of Romans, we go and we'll read the first 18 verses. He gives the introduction to the book. Maybe later on I'll do a little like Dad did with the chairs. Maybe most of you haven't went through that because it's been so long, but the older ones have. But he doesn't start with that chair, condemnation. He gives you first this introduction, the first 18 verses of it. And I'll read it right now. If you have turned to Romans, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, and of course I've got to be, because he was scratched out, it's in italics there. If you've got different translations, it isn't there in most of them. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And that Spirit isn't the Holy Spirit there. That's Jesus' own pure Spirit. By the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called, and here you got that to be that don't belong there in italics again, saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, and I'll stall here a minute because we won't get this far. Nobody ever thanks God. And nobody ever prays except through Jesus Christ. When you hear these people giving God thanks, Father, and they don't mention His Son, they don't give Him thanks. They actually call God a liar, that somebody can come some other way except through His Son. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Notice spirit again. Here, Paul's was not soulish. They serve God, and Colossians 1:8 says, the love in the Spirit. See, this love is soulish. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it separates between what is soulish and what is spirit. And if you know the Word of God and you have any discernment, you know that these most of this action that's going on TV is soulish. In fact, it gets so bad that that's all it is soulish in some places. That's their entertainment. There's nothing spiritual about that. So he says here, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at the length I might have a prosperous journey in the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. And you can't be without you. He already called you a saint. You're already a holy one. You've already got this new life. But you will never be established as far. And you can't grow unless you're established. We'll find out as he takes you through working out your salvation, the first thing he'll tell you is knowing this. Knowing this. And you can't fight the devil successfully or the flesh and the world unless you know this. And you'll stay a babe as long as you don't be established. And when he ends it in 16:25, he affirms, you've got to know what I've told you. This book of Romans is important to your life. Know it. That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brother. Oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto. That's the same thing that Ty in his Sunday school this morning. It's the same thing that the bride of Christ, he told you, was hindering Satan from completely taking over. Well, he was hindered. He was let hitherto, and I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So you'll see that this was mainly to the Gentiles. And I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready. And there's a lot of people who think they're ready, and you find out how much is in them in 5 minutes. And it's all soulish. That's how much gospel's in them. That's why they get right away from this and start all their own philosophy. That's the reason. But Paul was ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, or come there, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Back to verse 1, he starts with Paul. Now, Paul starts and lets you know in every one of his epistles, but to Hebrews, that it was from him. And undoubtedly, he doesn't start off with Paul to the Hebrews. Because you know what happened when he mentions the Gentiles, when they got him up and it said he got to Gentiles, that the Gentiles could get saved. And that was the end of it. Had he signed, said Paul, to the Hebrews, that would have been it. It would have been like even Schofield and Bob Jones University. They said when they read Revelations, they turned over to the man-child, and if the man-child there wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ, which is laughable, they didn't read any of the guy's commentary. You know, if this guy's wrong on this, he's got to be wrong on everything. Well, Peter would have never preached. As my new daughter-in-law said to me, we were taught that anybody can be a leader and a preacher. Look at Peter that makes mistakes. You see, that is not it. That's not it. It's what does he make of you? So, Hebrews, you can understand. But here he says, Paul. Undoubtedly, they had probably at least read his Galatians, I would think. They had heard of that, surely. And he had heard of them. And note, he addressed the whole assembly there in Rome and called them saints, not even knowing them. You understand that? He knew they were saved. Now, he knew in that assembly there was just as much going on as there is in this assembly. But what I'm saying is some of them that weren't yielding to the Lord at all. But he calls them saints. You know, the Roman church, it checks. Waits till you're dead 200 years, so there's no witness against you. But you're a saint. But God knew you were a saint the minute you said yes to His Son. You got this life. And God had promised eternal life before the world began, we read. If you want to read 2 Timothy 1:1, 2 Timothy 1:9, 1 John 2:25, and there's a lot of other places that God promised eternal life. And we're going to find out here how He did it, how He perfects that life to the 8th chapter, and then certain things He done during the dispensations as He works out salvation. And then ends, everybody's glorified. It says all, meaning not all sinners, of course, but all God's, all men, all His saved saints will have praise of Him. And we will read that. But Paul, I've ran already out of time, so we're just going to not get started. much tonight, but I'd like to keep you in mind a life, how he made the sinner a saint is what we'll study. And then how he takes that child of his and develops a perfect life in it. We will study how he does it. But notice that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle. Now he wasn't going to finally be an apostle. He was called to be an apostle, as he says in Galatians. I didn't get it from Peter or anybody else. I was an appointed apostle on the road to Damascus, and from that day on I was an apostle. He tells you over in 1 Corinthians 9:17, he says necessity was laid on me. I wasn't out looking for that job. And don't think that because they say, well, Paul, he's seen the glorified Christ. Judas seen 3 years. Don't tell me that there was any difference. And don't tell me that Paul couldn't have said no. Judas said no. And as far as I'm concerned, he had more of an opportunity than Paul. And don't ever get it in your mind that if God does a few more things, you'd believe. If you decide with a wicked heart that you're not going to believe God's word, like Pharaoh, he said, "Who is God that I should believe his word?" He hardened his heart, and then God hardened it with proof after proof after proof that from that time on he could not believe. When he said, "Who is God that I should obey him?" He knows who he is now. Let us never think for one moment that he has not made us free agents to choose for ourselves. You might have been born into a place that was bad, but you still make your own choice, as we will find out when we get into the condemnation part of it. His first two charges against us is they give not glory to God, neither we're thankful. First two choices. It's what he says about the human race. You won't give him the glory, or in other words, you won't praise him for everything he's done. A loving God that continues and continuously puts up with us. What a father. And how much more he loves us. And wants to see the best, especially for living waters. But gave not glory to God when they knew God. Or in other words, God seeks those who worship him. Neither were thankful. Give me some more. Give me some more. Let me know some more. And then he ends the charge with no fear of God before their... All these indictments we'll find out. And then he says, no fear of God before their eyes. Whew. No fear of God? Ever hear a guy, I won't be sad in hell? Oh, no fear of God. He's so bit by the Satan that he hasn't got brain one. No fear of God's the last charge of what the devil had did to the human race. No idea at all what had happened. But Paul, We'll find out that this was a bond servant or a born servant, and it was a life. He was the ambassador, and notice it's of Jesus Christ, and then the gospel of God. First of Jesus Christ. Then you can preach the gospel of God. But it all comes through His Son. And no other way will you get anything. In the ages to come, Ephesians, I think it's about 2:7. In the ages to come, He shall show forth His riches, the riches of His grace, to us here tonight. And some of us will enjoy that grace much more because we'll have the capacity to enjoy it much more. Just like the adults here tonight enjoy life. Now the little ones, they're in chairs, they're not bothered with it. But you know you were there. Who enjoys life the most? In the ages to come, and it'll go right through it again. Through what? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, He would have to be the one that would fail. He would have to be the one that would die. My dad has passed, but I'm still alive, aren't I? My siblings are still alive. Our dad has gone. But if Jesus was gone, there wouldn't be any of us here. That's one of the differences in this new life. He holds it all together. It says, because He lives, we live. Our grandfather, Adam, he blew it. And he's dead. I'm not dead. But I will. Amen. See, it's a different type of a life. It doesn't hinge like that. Are you saying that God cannot make this new creation? Are you saying He can't make you a new creation in Christ? And everything will hinge on Him forever? That's how safe you are. When do you think that He's going to fail God? When do you think any of that life will be against God? Tell my wife, I says, well, you know, and I'll close with that, but I said, you know, He's going to make it for His Son. Everything's going to be finally for His Son. Just think of the economy that's just about to happen in the millennium. I mean, He can't fail. How would you like to be in charge when this economy hits? Huh? Here you plant a row of spinach, and you get to the back of the church, and you have to run around and harvest the spinach that you just planted. Huh? I mean, who's going to complain now? They'll have the right guy in then, won't they? Huh? Of course, the Jews got to accept Him before that's going to happen. Author, see what you guys have even done to us. Why don't you guys get with it? Huh? Let's stand and have Author dismiss us.